Yesterday's ruling supported the claim that it's unfair for some Californians to vote with a system that was declared defective because its error rate is higher than the system used by other Californians. Never mind that until the Bush-Gore ballot counting debacle, American voters cast ballots typically oblivious to the rate of error in the system that they used. If California is setting a new standard for fairness, it's not surprising. In this election, a special alphabetical order was drawn to deprive people with last names that begin with A or B from appearing higher on the list than those whose names start with V and W. And then just to double lock that defense against unfair advantage, the list of candidates starts at a different point in this special alphabetical order depending on your voting district. All this seems to raise a question: how fair can we really expect an election to be? Dennis Thompson is a professor of government at Harvard University and the author of Just Elections, Creating a Fair Electoral Process in the United States. And Professor Thompson, first, the postponement, in your view, progress toward fairness?
Well, we'll see what the outcome is, but I think there was necessary for someone to examine more closely whether this system that's set up is fair or not, and that's what the courts seem to be asking us to do.
Does that mean that you think if everybody used equally defective ballot voting machines, that would be fair, but it's the disparity that might make something unfair?
Well, I think fairness has at least two components. It has to be a system that actually produces reasonable procedures, which your hypothetical defective, maybe it's not so hypothetical, defective system that punishes everybody equally wouldn't satisfy. And then it has to not discriminate in some particular way against some voters over others.
A recall election, by its nature, not that we have much experience to go on, but by its nature, it suggests urgency, that there's some reason to act soon rather than wait for the next regularly scheduled election. Does the fairness of getting that grievance redressed, say, compete with the fairness of making good on the replacement of voting machines that, in this case, California was committed to?
Well, I agree that recalls do imply some urgency, but that has to be weighed against a grossly unfair system. So we wouldn't want to rush ahead and decide something by a system that's unfair, using a recall, which, by the way, already has a defect that's been pointed out many times. This two-stage election allows a minority of California voters to elect a governor who is elected by a majority.
What about the requirement to effectively refashion the alphabet to deprive anybody of the unfair advantage of being consistently first?
It's an interesting question. And in fact, there is some good evidence that position on the ballot really does make a difference. And it's kind of a clever, I think the Secretary of State had a solution to what's not an easy situation.
What do you say to the argument that inevitably some people are going to live farther away from a polling place than other people, or some people are going to have not as good transportation at their disposal as other people? There will be some kind of unfairness that you can't completely wring out of an election system.
I think that's right, but that's an argument not for doing what you can do, and the electoral system should be made as fair as possible, all the more so if there are other background fairnesses like geography and transportation, which the state can't do much about.
Professor Dennis Thompson of Harvard University, who's also the author, by the way, of Just Elections, Creating a Fair Electoral Process in the United States. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.